Rosh Hashanah, busy Shabbos. Busy Motzei Shabbos. Try to have a little bit of Yishuv Hadas. The emes is that what we're going to talk about now is a continuation. It's all one mahalach, what we're learning. It's one mahalach. But each year I'm trying to give each year in a way that each one can be understood separately. It's not one depending on the other. And we need to talk about this what we're going to talk about now is negeh to many, many things. And because we have Baruch Hashem a simcha from the chevra tonight, and I have to go to the city, so I'm going to have to say everything very much b'kitzur. And I hope it won't be too confusing. I mean, you came to learn something, so I should hope for more than that, that you're not being confused. Mr. Hashem, we should learn something together and to gain. You know, the Mishnah at the end of the ninth parak of Saita, there, and then you have the corresponding Gemaras and the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, is describing what's going to be, some of the things that are going to be at the end of time. What's it going to be like by Ikfas the Mashiach at the end of time? The simanim that Mashiach is on his way. One of those simanim of the end of time is very, very interesting. It caught my eye, and I've been thinking about it the last couple of months. So as I said, it's very hard to be mitzamtzim to give this over properly. The Mishnah says, "Va'anshei ha'gvul yisayvu mi'ir li'ir v'lo yichaylenu." The Mishnah says that before Mashiach comes, or those last few minutes before Mashiach comes, there are certain people who are called the Anshei Hagvul, the border people from the border, Anshei Hagvul. Yisayvavu, they're going to dray around, they're going to go around yearly ear, from place to place. V'lo yichaynu means that they're not going to be well-liked, they're not going to be appreciated or liked, the Anshei Hagvul. Okay, who are these Anshei Hagvul? Who are these people of the border, the Anshei Hagvul? Where are they going? Why are they draying around? And why is it that they're not finding chayin, that they're somehow not liked, they're not appreciated? Who are the Anshei Hagvul who are unappreciated, who are draying around? So in Rashi, there are two explanations. The Rashi is in Sanhedrin Sadik Zah. Rashi says two things. The first thing, I'm just going to explain for a minute, we could talk about that mamish for years. And it's very much nogeya to this time we're in. The first chat in Rashi of Anshei Gvul, who are the people of the border, Rashi says, Anshei Gvul Eretz Yisrael. These are the Jews who live by the borders, the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a Metzias, where slowly but surely Jews are going to be leaving the extremities of Eretz Yisrael, the border villages and towns. They're being driven away from the borders. They're afraid to remain by the borders. And they're going to gradually move more and more to gravitate towards the cities of Eretz Yisrael that are more central and safer. Obviously, the life on the border is much more dangerous and insecure. And Chazal are telling us that one of the signs before Mashiach comes is that people are going to be afraid to live in these places. The Anshei Hagvul. V'lo yichaynu means they're not going to be beloved or liked, whereas a century ago in Eretz Yisrael, these were the heroes, right? Who were the greatest heroes for the last 100 years? Those Yidden in Eretz Yisrael who were digging out swamps, who went to these places, who settled in these villages and towns and created places all around the edge of Eretz Yisrael. These were the most kosher people. This, as you know, as we get to the end of time, V'lo Yichreinu means, this is the first pshat in Rashi, is that nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, these settlers by the borders, not only are they not appreciated, but particularly by the secular people, because 99% of the Jews that live in those places are what? Are Shomrei Mitzvahs, are God-fearing Jews. Many of the secular Jews of Eretz Yisrael see those who live on the border, not only that they're not the heroes, but they are what? They're a burden, they're a nuisance, they're causing problems. Why don't they leave? Why don't they come to Tel Aviv and Ramat Gan? Why don't they come to Haifa and Netanya? Why don't they leave these places? They're causing the Arabs to get upset. They're causing the Americans to get upset. So, the first pshat in Rashi, you understand why I said we could talk about that for a few years. But that's not our subject for now. But the first pshat in Rashi, that before Mashiach comes, Chazal say, the Anshei HaGvul are going to dray around, and people are not going to appreciate them, people are not going to like the Anshei HaGvul. This is itself an amazing thing, that the Mitzyashvim, who everybody loved and looked up to, as what, the pioneers and the heroes of Eretz Yisrael, are now the embarrassment and the burden of the population. What do we do with these guys? And on the, now you have every day in the newspaper police, pictures of police dragging them away. Here, do it. That's the first pshat. Let's talk about now the Indian, what we need to talk about. The second pshat in Rashi. Who the Anshei HaGvul? The border people. The Anshei HaGvul in the second pshat are the Anshei Gozes Sanhedrin. The border people are the great leaders, the tzaddikim, who are the members of the high court, of the great court in Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin. And why are they called Anshei Gvul? What do they have to do with the border? Because the Lishkas Sanhedrin, the office, or the court, the place where the Sanhedrin would meet, was Chetzia Hoye B'Kodesh, the Chetzia Hoye B'Chol. As we're taught in the fifth chapter of Midas, of Masechta Midas, that the Sanhedrin was situated in such a way where the great court would gather in that chamber. Half of that was on the location of Kodesh, sanctified land. And half of the Sanhedrin was situated in such a way where half of it was on sanctified land, Kodesh, and half of it was on Chol, on non-sanctified territory. It was Eretz Yisrael, meaning but it wasn't Kodesh of the Har HaBayis and so on, of the Kedushas HaMikdash. So therefore, Rashi is telling us that the members of the great court of the Sanhedrin are called the Anshei HaGvul. The ones who are called the border people. It's Givaldic, no? Anshei HaGvul. In order to understand this, and how it connects to our Indian that we're talking about this year, we're learning the Sugya of what? Tikkun HaMidas, Bir HaMidas, in connection to what we were learning last week from Rav Huttner, Yishurun. We need to understand first, what is a gvul? What's the meaning in Avodas Hashem? What's the meaning of a gvul, a border? Any time that you have a gvul, that you have a border, it means that there's something chashuv. It means that there's something of importance. Because a gvul, I'm going to use the word gvul, and I don't have to translate each time, gvul, border. So you got that? Border, gvul, gvul, border. Okay. So, any time that you have a gvul, by definition, where there's a gvul, it means that something has erech. It has chshivas. It has value. And therefore, a gvul is not just for the purpose of a simon, that this and this is 50 kilometers away, or 100 kilometers away. A gvul, and the purpose of a border, the purpose of a gvul, is not just to tell you the geographical location, but it's also to be magdir, to define the particular nature of place A as opposed to place B. On the simplest level, we understand that when you speak about an American or America, and you speak about a Mexican or Mexico, whether it's a Maile Chisar, that's not important. But there's a difference. It's not just the distance from one shtetl in America to the other shtetl in Mexico. The border that separates Mexico and America says that there's a Metzias with all of its gedorim and all of its chashivas that's called America. And America means apple pie, it means Joe DiMaggio, whatever America means. And then you have another Metzias that's called Mexico, and Mexico means whatever that means. I'm not sure exactly, but it means good things also, whatever that is, that they have their culture, sombreros, enchiladas, whatever they do, enchiladas, I'm not sure. But there's stuff going on over there. But that's the Metzias, and the border is that which is Magdir, it creates, it says this is this, ad kan, and thus is thus. And now we have a different Metzias. And each Metzias is chosh. Therefore we find that the Gemara says in Yuma, Ein Odom Nagein B'muchen L'chaveiro. That means that there are borders between people. And what the Baruch Shem has prepared for this person, for Reuven, that he has his place, and Shimon has his place. And if Shimon tries to infiltrate into Reuven's borders, as a ganav, as a ritzeiah, he's a thief, he's a murderer, chas v'shalom, right? Because right, Reuven has his glue. He has his borders, he has his place, his home, his parnasa. And not only that, Ein Adam Negeh B'muchen L'chaveiro means on a deeper level that when it comes to everything in life, that what this person has, that's his inyan. And you shouldn't try to imitate him or be him or take what he has. That's his gevul, he has a gevul. Ein Malchus Negas B'chavete K'mloi Nima, which means that two malchis, two kingdoms cannot work simultaneously. All of the pain, the unbelievable, unbearable pain in the relationship between two tzaddikim, and David Malki Mashiach, and who? And Shaul HaMelech. We understand. Two Malchias can't cross. The Malchias, the kingdoms of Rochel and Leah, the Malchus of Yosef and Yehuda, Shaul and David, all of that pain of those two Malchias when they were colliding, the sun and the moon, right? From the beginning of time, the sun has its Malchus and the moon has its Malchus. And when one tries to go to the Malchus of the other, then there's Tsaros. Because each Malchus has a gvul. Every person has a gvul. A kingdom has a gvul. And that means that you have your own personality, and you have your own way, and you have your own family, and you have your own past, and you have your own present and future. It's a Malchus. It's a Malchus. Every person has his Malchus. And every country has its Malchus. And the gvul says that until here it's this Malchus, and now from here on it's the other Malchus. That's what the gvul does. So you understand that the gvul is makne, it gives chshivas, and it defines each of the sides of the gvul. In time, there's also a gvul, not just in place, but in time there's also a gvul, and that's what we said a few minutes ago, mamish a few minutes ago here in Shul Havdalah. And Havdalah means Hamavdil bin Kodesh L'chol. There's a Friday, and Friday is like this. And then there's Shabbos, and oy vavoy, if you mix that up. And if Friday is not Friday, and if Shabbos is not Shabbos, there's a lot of tzaros, God forbid. Chil Shabbos, and so on. Hamavdu ben kodesh l'chol. There's a havdalah, there's a gvul in time, between that which is holy, and that which is not holy. So in time, and we look on the calendar, we look on the luch, and we see that Shabbos is over like this, according to the Gainim, Shabbos Rabbein Hatam, and we have Zman, and the Zman means on this side it's called Friday, and Thursday, Wednesday, and so on. And on the other side it's called Shabbos Kodesh. Hamavdil bin Kodesh L'chol. And between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, between Kodesh and Chol, just like we have in physical space, in the Olam, we have in time, which is called Shana, right, between Shabbos and Chol, and we have in Nefesh, that means in soul, there's a difference between a Yid, a Jew, and Lahavdil, and that's what we mean, we say Lahavdil, now there's the border, and a Goy, a non-Jew. There's a Gvul. Ben Yisrael Ha'am. between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. There's a gevul, there's a border. And the Ummah Tayyibah, the nations of the world, can be very, very nice, and they have this, they have that, whatever it is. But that's their Metzias. And a Jew lives on the other side of the border, and on the other side of the border is the world of Yisrael. And the same Rabbanu Shlomo who was mavdil between Kodesh Chol in time, and was mavdil between Kodesh Chol in physical space, between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, and between in Yerushalayim, the different places, as the Mishnah says, the 10 levels of Kedusha. So the Rabbanu Shlomo was mavdil between Kodesh Ben Yisrael Ha'am, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. There's a gevul, there's a havdalah. And that gevul is responsible for being misader all the koiches, for setting and establishing and fixing all the koiches of what does it mean to be a Jew? What are the koiches of a Jew? What is the job of a Jew in this world, the shlichus of a Jew in this world? That there shouldn't be any tishtush, which means confusion or blurring, the same way that you can't have a little bit of Shabbos. There's Shabbos in this hall. And what we have been ashmash, because we don't know how, so we make a little bit extra time. I have to say that that's not important for right now, but the mitzvah is, the reality is, that we have to be careful to guard the border. To be careful of what happens by the border. That there shouldn't be chalila, any mixing between two worlds. One is called, we're going to talk about that now, one is called the world of yachad. What does yachad mean? Together. And there's a word that's very, very similar. It's just a little yud and a vav, two letters from Hashem's name. It's called yichud. Yichud means what? Just the opposite. Yichud means singular or unique. Yachad means sezamen, alles sezamen, together, very nice. Everybody's together, that's called yachad. That's when the gevul is down, right? That's in your place, yachad. And the gevul says, adkan, and now there's yichud. Yichud means alone, unique, and separate. Let me explain. Here's a couple of sentences from one of the Ma'amorim of Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha. This is in the Ma'amorei Raya, page 409. People always ask me, how can we not say the Ma'amorim? And I forget when I get all excited, so I'm trying to work on it. And remind me, I'll give you the Ma'amorim, if people want to look something up. That gives me a lot of nachas if you're looking it up. So Rav Kook writes over there in the Ma'amorim, which, by the way, these, the Ma'amorim, I haven't from a long time ago, they were just reprinted last week. They came out again, the Ma'amorim were right, they were out of print for many years. So the Ma'amorim, he writes there on page 409. Kishe'ein ha'gvulois, kishe'ein ha'gvulois, mitushtoshim, when the borders are not blurry, when the borders are clear, when the border is clear, atkan, there's a border. Listen how beautiful. Listen to the words of the Tzaddik. What does it mean that the borders are clear? It means that each one does what he's supposed to do. The farmer is not trying to be the doctor. The doctor is not trying to be a farmer. And there's a lot of stories in the world when there's confusion, right? So he says, Rav Kook says, the gvul is the borders when they're not confused. When they're clear, that means that each one does what he's supposed to do. He has his gvul, he has his place, that's his malchus, that's his kingdom, he does what he's supposed to do. Levararai ulahaloisa. This is what we're talking about with Midas, and we'll come back to it at the end. To clarify and to refine and to lift up. This is my tachlis in the world. This one, I'm going to be the best doctor there could be. I'm going to be the best lawyer that can be, the best Talmud Chacham lahavdol. I'm going to be the best I can be. And I told you once, I'm not going to say the ma'aseh because I'm in a big rush tonight, but I once mentioned that in Brisk about that person who wanted to stay the whole night saying Tehillim, a gvir, a certain wealthy person, and the brisker of the Beis HaLevi told him, Gaish Shlufen, your problem is, you think that you're the brisker of, I'm the one that's supposed to be saying Tehillim, and you're supposed to be going to sleep. And that sounds strange. Why can't they both say? The brisker of understood in that person that he's trying to be what he's not. and you have to be very, very careful, and it's very hard to know, what's my tafkid, what's my malchus, what's my place, where's my gevul, where's my bur? The doctor who wants to be a farmer, the farmer wants to be a doctor. Many, many times I have people that come to talk to me, that at some point in life, when they already have tanayin ahara, they're married, and there's a mishpacha, or mishpacha on the way, and they have responsibilities, somebody comes to me, could be 23, 24, says, you know, Rabbi, I think I'd like to go to yeshiva. So, that's a very noble thing to go to yeshiva. Who wouldn't want to go to yeshiva? Especially if you can't. The problem is wanting to go to yeshiva when you're in yeshiva. Because then it's very hard. But when you feel like you can't go, it's gewaldig. You want to go to yeshiva. Everybody wants to go to yeshiva. And how nervous I am to tell somebody, listen, my sweet and precious friend, maybe you're holding now, it's a little bit of a difficult time. And maybe your thing is to be, and you didn't learn for a long time, maybe you used to be an Eilech Yid, an Eilech HaBalabas, and to go finish up what you're doing in school and go to work and to learn 2 or 3 hours in the morning and to try to go at night, after Mashiach. Klal Yisrael has very fine Jews like that, you know? My grandfather, I never met, Hashem should revenge his blood, take revenge for his blood. My grandfather was with a chevra of Jews that they finished Shas 7 times. Balabatim, without the Daf Yomi, Rabbi. It wasn't the Daf Yomi then. Balabatim, Shas 7 times. The same chevra. 7 times. And they switched off who was leading the learning. These were Balabatim and hungry before the war. They went through a whole Shas, over and over again, Shas. And they were working people. But they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's not so easy. They get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they put in a lot of time. They went to the mikveh, went to daven, went to work. Maybe the Balabatim see that some of the guys from yeshiva get up at 9 o'clock, and then they go to the mikveh a little bit, and they go to daven, they dray around a little bit, and you know. So it looks like a good, you know, it is very appealing. And the Torah itself is very, very appealing, of course. But oy vavoy, if a person of Cook says, "Shein hagvulus mitustosim akolachat shoymal tafkid levar lahalois," you have to be the best you could be and do what you have to do. And maybe for that yid it means you have 3 hours a day. Now I'm not saying I always know, you need a navi. But for that, it means to be the best you could do to help many, many people in your profession and to do it honestly and to be ehrlich and what? And to put in the best amount of time you can as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, and to learn. Maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe, I know there are many, many people who think that they could sit and learn for 12 hours a day, and like I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, are you kidding? You can't even sit by davening for 6 minutes. He gets up and goes here and goes there and goes to check the windows, check this, check the bathroom, ask everybody, can I help you with your seat and so on, and he wants to sit and learn for 10 hours. But these are dimyonis that you want to be on the other side of the border, because it always looks good. It always looks good on the other side. So Cook says, listen how beautiful this is. That when there's a gevul, when the border is clear between what? That which is holy and that which is not holy. It doesn't mean impure, it means which is not kaidish, which is chol, secular. He says, when you know what your tafkid is on your side of the border, and you're in the world, and it's your world, and you know what it means to be a yid, and you know your tafkid. So then Rav Kook says, then any relationship between the people on the two sides of the border, between the one, meaning between the inside the border of Kodesh and having some connection to the people outside, that will be also a blessing. Listen, that's also a blessing. Aval bizman shagvulos mitushtoshim, but when the borders are not clear, when you don't know what it means to be Be'emes Yisrael, this is the confusion of modern times that they call breakdown. This is centrist, modern, right. I don't know, Narishkeit. All this stuff. When the borders are unclear, that means when you allow into the Malchus, into the kingdom of holiness, things from the outside. Not that you go from the world of holiness and you have a shaykhus to the outside, which can be a great blessing. When you're a holy Jew, you know what it means to be a Jew, you know halachas and shulchan aruch, where your eyes are supposed to be, and your ears, and your mouth, and you're the way you're supposed to be, and then you're what? You're in the secular world, you're a bracha for the whole world. Not only that, but it brings bracha into the world of Kedusha. Just like many of the Balei Tshuva, look how amazing they are, that they came back from that world, and now we have, Baruch Hashem, new writers, and new thinkers, and new koiches that have come, where? From outside of the borders, into Kedushas Yisrael, right? Or people have converted, Geirim, Geirat Tzedek, brought bracha, when it's done properly. Baruch Kuk says, but if God forbid, the borders are unclear, and what? And that which is profane or secular enters into the place of Kedusha. So the one that I've been screaming about, there are a million examples, but the one that you've been hearing me talk about for months already now is the whole idea of feminism, which is the thing which is treif, b'yisoid, it's all tumah, it's from the world of chol. Now when that enters into the world of Kodesh, it brings unbelievable pain and confusion. If, however, it's done al pi Torah and with kiddush and with tzaddikim, then it brings more covet to Jewish women. It brings out their kaiches, the kaiches of Jewish women to give to Klal Yisrael. It's like when the Lubavitcher Rebbe Schlusser again, when he used to have sabrengins with the women. People don't know about that. That the Rebbe used to sabreng with thousands of women, and he told them about their tachlis and their tafkid. But when a woman doesn't know that what her job is, what she's supposed to be doing, what her thing is in this world, is the same thing with the farmer and the doctor. And if the person doesn't know what her tachlis is, and what his tachlis is, and the gevulis, and the borders are what? The borders are being blurred. Then there's always an anger. What do you mean I'm the one that's cooking? What do you mean I'm the one that's saying Kriya Shema with the kids? What do you mean that you're the one that's going to work? I want to do this, and you want to do that. And there's all these skirmishes along the border. Unbelievable skirmishes along the border. Because what? Because then you're trying to bring from the outside into your malchus. Instead of my malchus being secure, living within my borders, and having a little bit of a trip outside. There's a difference. There I don't remove the borders of yichud, of singularity, of uniqueness, of separation. There's a mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. We know what it means to be a Jewish woman, and we know what it means to be a non-Jewish woman. And this is the gvul. This is the gvul. In shul there's a gvul, in the workplace there's a gvul, at home there's a gvul. The Rebbeinu Shlomo made this gvul. You don't like it? Then don't try to create a new Yiddishkeit to accommodate your borderless life. But this is the gvul that the Eibishter, the creator of the world, made a gvul. And if you know what the gvul is, and the boundaries are clear, then there could be an influence in a healthy, debased way, in a blessed way, from both sides of the gvul. And Klal Yisrael can take from the, in a good way, from certain concepts that before Mashiach is here, that there's certain inyonim regarding the covenant of an Isha that's being emphasized in the secular world, the honor of a woman, good, adarava. It's all in the Torah, but for some people it's hard to see it in the Torah and it's unclear, adarava. But it has to be within the gvulim, within the borders of Kedusha. He says that when the borders are unclear, v'achol nichnas le'erchei hakodesh la'asah sham siurim medidas and siurim medidas and shiurim. In other words, when people begin to identify things from the outside secular world as being exalted and holy and pure, l'moshel, secular education, say that. There is such a thing that when a Jew is secure within his borders of being a Jew, and he knows what it means to be a Jew, then to say that we know from Sadiqim in different places that there's an Indian that we could take from the outside world. And we know, and everybody says, didn't the Rambam know? Avada the Rambam studied. Didn't the Vilna Gaon know all science and myth? 100% the Vilna Gaon knew all science and myth. But the Vilna Gaon wasn't in the cafeteria in Queens College with a little maidla over there. You understand, right? The Vilna Gaon was in the Gvul of Kedusha. And what does it mean, secular b'chlal? 100% there's an Indian when a Jew knows what his borders are. But then you'll meet other Jews who will say, they'll understand someone leaving yeshiva even though he can't even read a pasuk from Mishrashi, can't read a Gemara, but he'll say, but, you were accepted to Columbia. You were accepted to NYU. Do you know, there's tremendous Kedusha in that. The Rambam would say that you have to go. The Vilna Gaon would say that if you want to be holy and pure, if you want to be a great Jew, that you have to belong to the fraternity, the sorority. I don't know if there's such thing as that anymore. So, in other words, once when you have secular things that are lifted up to a level of Kedusha, and what? And are brought into the world of Kedusha, to the point that Jews attribute them with holiness instead of saying, no, Kedusha means Torah. That's it. What about the secular world? What about the secular world of the terraces? To say that. You're in your border, you know what it means to be a Yid. So then that means to study biology, to study chemistry, 100%. A profession doesn't die. That's fine. But for those people who, if a boy wants to go to learning yeshiva for a year, the parents say, "Bishum eifen, you can't. And they call the rabbi, please talk some sense into my son. He wants to learn Torah. Talk some sense into my son. He's lost his mind. He doesn't know that the tachlis of his creation in this world is to finish up college, and if he finishes up 6 months later, he's not going to have a family, he's not going to get married, he's not going to have a family, he's not going to be able to support the family, and all the narishkeit and the shtusim and havalim that come from the outside. If the borders are gone, and you try to say what's holy is secular, or what's secular is holy, and that's the example that I just gave you. So when it comes to learning Torah, it's not so important. A lot of parents say, you learn Torah later on. You can learn Torah when you're older. But right now, this is what you have to do. When those borders are metushtoshim, are unclear. So a cook says, hakol miskalkel. Everything gets messed up. Everything gets messed up, and that's why, as I've been screaming about since last week, and this entire week, and last week, the whole week, that's why you could have a woman, who's Shemesh Shabbos, writing an opinion that there's nothing wrong with her son and her daughter going to public school. Adarabah, she's proud of it, because the yeshivas have this problem, and that problem. Therefore, she's proud that her children are what they're going to public school. And what happens if it's as a result of that, they get too close to the Umas Olam, and this one's sharing a microscope with a Chinese girl. So no, listen. That's part of what it means to be a modern Orthodox person. There are risks that we take for the sake of modernism. Hashem Yirach V'al Kein Zeh HaMatzav Shegoyim HaTeichin Shel Tishtush HaGvulim Hu Hefzed Klorli L'Shtei HaMarach Marach Shel HaKodesh V'Shel HaChol. Shav Kook says an amazing thing, that when the borders are unclear, then both sides of the border are hurt. The world of Kedusha is hurt, of holiness is hurt, obviously, because there are things that are being introduced that do not belong, and things that are not really Kodesh are what? Are being identified or being lifted up to what? Being on the level of holiness, and they're not. And they're not. So you'll have people that say, like I mentioned the other day, somebody will say, well, don't you read this magazine, or don't you read this newspaper, or what's the matter, you don't have a television in the house? So you say, no, I don't believe that the television belongs in the house. But then, don't you think your children should make a choice, that should be up to your children, and so on and so forth? All of these diburim, all of these words, which the world is filled with this diburim, this havolim, this narishkeit, as if there's some Indian of Yehari Bal Yavra to risk my children, and to risk the holiness and pureness of a Jewish child, and my pureness, for what ideal? For what great ideal? To know what happened? If I want to know what happened, I can get an Arut Sheva. And if I want to know what happened, I can hear it in Shul. And I'll even get a commentary in Shul. Right? If I want to know what happened. But people will say, no, you have to bring in this trace, this schmutz, this filth, this narishkeit into the house, with the kids, on the table, and talk about, and all for what mitzvah? What's the big mitzvah? The mitzvah is that we should be educated and informed. But show me one place where it says in Torah Shavachsav, Torah Shavah Peder, that's a mitzvah. Do you know how different our lives would be? Try it for 1 week, not to listen to any news or read any newspaper. You'd be amazed how much you could talk to your family and how much you could, inside your own head, to have some clarity. You'd be amazed. But again, this sounds like, you know, from the, it sounds like you're getting nervous about me, right? I know you're getting nervous. Yeah, like a mishig. It's okay. It's okay. we can still be friends though, right? That's important to me. Even though it might be hard to hear what I'm saying, I don't chas v'shalom mean to insult anybody. because I have to say what I believe is to be true from what I learn in the Torah, that's all. And I'm not going to give you some rabbinical speech just to give you to make nice, that this is nice, everything is good, everything is kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. I'm sure that you heard already enough of that stuff. This is the Amos according to the Torah. And this is what the Tzaddik is saying. But both worlds lose out. And there's nobody here that could say that Rav Kook was not a person who understood the secular world. He knew more about the secular world. He knew more literature, more philosophy, more science than anybody in this room, guaranteed. Maybe he didn't have the latest up to date where we are now, but for that time when he lived, he was ahead of the field. In every field, he knew it. But the side of Kedusha loses also. Let me explain. Rav Kook, I just don't have time to read more from the Maimon. Because Rav Kook says, the emes is, the truth is, that the two sides of the border are not supposed to be at war with each other. We have to have a border of Amavdim and Kodesh L'chol, that's true, between holy and what's not holy, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, that's true. But Rav Kook says, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to be adversaries with the world, just the opposite. Rav Kook says that the Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to use that which is Kodesh, that which is Chol, from the other side of the border, which is, so to speak, secular or not holy. And he wants us to draw out from it the full flavor of the Rebbeinu Shlom's world. I was just sharing something beautiful one of the Chevra gave me from Rav Levinsohn, and I was showing my wife Rav Shabbos, I showed Myrna something from Rav Yisrael Salanta that Rav Levinsohn brought down. He brought down there that Rabbi Sol Salanta said that when you make the bracha shahakal niyavidvaro, right? We make the bracha many, many times a day. So you take a glass of water, you make a bracha shahakal niyavidvaro, that everything Hashem is created with your word, shahakal niyavidvaro. So Rabbi Sol Salanta said that when you say the bracha shahakal niyavidvaro, what does it mean shahakal niyavidvaro, everything? Why did you just say that this thing was everything? So Rabbi Sol gave a marshal. He said that, Rabbi Yisrael said that himself, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said that he once went into he was in a restaurant and he got a tea. And he ordered the tea, and then they came with a bill, and it was ridiculous, it was like a ridiculous amount of money for a tea. So he asked the Balabas, I don't understand, Rabbi Yisrael said, I don't understand, okay, there's some water in here, and there's a little bit of the sand, the tea, and a couple of things of sugar. My cheshbon is that should be like a penny, whatever it is. And what are you charging me? Like, what is that? So he said, Rabbi, it's not the tea, it's the ambiance. Right? It's in a restaurant. And somebody brings it to you. And, hey, you know, it's nice. That's what you're paying for. So Bissel Santa said a gewaldige thing. When you make a bracha shahakol nivadvaro, it's not just a glass of water. It's the ambiance. What does that mean? He said, think about it. Think about waterfalls. Think about oceans. Think about the rain. Think about clouds. Think about the beautiful world that you live in that gave you this cup of water. The ambience, the surrounding makif of a whole world that the Rebbeinu Shlom created, that if things wouldn't have a taste, it wouldn't have a color, we'd be able to live. Why can the Rebbeinu Shlom just make a world filled with vitamins? Everybody just have vitamins. No, instead the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us kishke, and he gave us, you know, kugel, and he gave us good things, mamish good things. It should be geschmack, and we enjoy it, and it it looks good, right? Because I know there's a word that I hear all the time, presentation, right? Is that the right word? The way that you have to, it's not just that the food tastes good, it has to also have it has to be presented a certain way. And all of that, the person has a hanah, a person has a tremendous pleasure. That's the ambiance of when you make a bracha, the shahak. The Rebbeinu Shlom wanted, and he wants, that what? That when you live in your gvul, in your border, that you should take a field trip. And you should get things from the other side of the border. And that what? And those things that come from the side of Chol should be used to sweeten and intensify the experience of Kedusha. That's how the Vilna Gaon learned math. That's what I meant that he wasn't sitting in the cafeteria. It wasn't that the Chol brought down the Kodesh, or that he confused Kodesh and Chol, and he thought that what Kodesh was Chol and what Chol was Kodesh. The Vilna Gaon knew what Kodesh was and what Chol was, and he lived on the right side of the border. But he knew how to take from the other side of the border and to bring it in. The same way with our relationship with the nations of the world, it wasn't meant to be adversarial. It wasn't meant to be a milchama on both sides of the border. And the nations of the world have so much to gain from Klal Yisrael, not our holiness, unless someone wants to convert them, which is also possible. But they don't, that's not what they stand to gain. But they stand so much to gain, and they have gained. And they have gained. And afterwards, they make pogroms and holocausts when they're finished with us. But they have gained. From what? From Kedushas Yisrael. Islam and Christianity are just very, very shabby impersonations of Kedushas Yisrael. Kiddush, as you know. That's all it is. Then Rav Kook says, if we have the proper borders and we know what we're doing, then what? Then the world of Kodesh is Netzal will be uplifted by the Chol, and the world of Chol will be uplifted and refined by the world of Kedusha. So now we come back to the Anshei HaGvul. Listen, Rabbi, I didn't have to rush a little bit. Now listen. Now we come back to the Anshei HaGvul. The border people. Right? The border people. Who are these borderline personalities? I think there's such a loss. I'm not sure what it means exactly. I know it's not good English. But I'm using it in a good way, right? Because we have to take from the outside and to bring it into Kiddush. That's exactly what I want to do. Who are these Anshei HaGvul? So these are the Tzaddikim. The second chat in Rashi says that these are who? These are the Anshei HaSanhedrin. These are the leaders of the Jewish people who make the decisions, who sit by the great court. They're the Anshei HaGvul. Why are they now we understand why they're called the Anshei HaGvul. Because the job of the leaders of the Jewish people, the job of the Anshei HaGvul is to say, this belongs in Klal Yisrael, this doesn't belong in Klal Yisrael. Meaning, as we were talking about before, the Kedusha of a Jewish woman is something that must be learned, must be emphasized, and it's in the Svarim HaKedusha, we have to learn the Sugya properly, and more importantly, it has to be practiced in the home. But that doesn't mean glorious timing, you understand? To bring in. So the Anshei HaSanhedrin are the ones who say that this is the time, this is Kedush, and that's Chol. The Anshei HaGvul, the men who live by the borders, meaning the members of the Sanhedrin, they know how to define what belongs here and there. When is it proper to have Yachad? When are we allowed to bring things together? When are we allowed to make a program for the outside world? And when do we say, Yichud means alone, that thing is already infiltrating into Klal Yisrael, it doesn't belong in Klal Yisrael, it looks good, they're making speeches about it, they're talking about it, there are even rabbis who are Orthodox who are saying these things, that's not where it belongs. It doesn't belong in Klal Yisrael. So even though I remember my Rebbe Rav David Zechasak Levrocha, Jeff, you remember Rav David? And I remember Rav David, I was once talking to him we were talking about a Gemara in Gittin, and I remember that we were talking for a half hour on the corner in front of the library, on Amsterdam Avenue. And I was getting very worked up, and my Rebbe was telling me like this, and back and forth, and all of a sudden Rav David went, and if you knew Rav David, then you understand this. All of a sudden Rav David went, oi, oi, and I didn't know what happened. And he starts like running, and I got nervous because it's a busy street. And he's running close. Why? Because the Rebbetzin was carrying some groceries. And Reb David ran across Amsterdam Avenue, ran across him. He was in his 80s, but he ran across Amsterdam Avenue to go take the big from his Rebbetzin. Yeah, that's before modern sensibilities. That's from thousands of years ago, Reb David. Not from some journal. Or some column in a newspaper about having proper manners. It's from the Kedushas HaTorah. So Rav David was one of the members of the Sanhedrin of our generation, and he said, that is part of Kedushas Yisrael, to take the bit from your wife, to help her out, and to be mechabed your wife. That's Kedushas Yisrael. But that doesn't mean giving her an aliyah and shul. Do you understand? That doesn't mean that. And the Anshei HaSanhedrin say, Ad kan, this is the Gvul. And it's not because they don't like it, and it's all that baby stuff. It's not that. It's the Anshei HaSanhedrin know that this is us. This is Gvul. Ad kan is the Gvul. So we say, Yachad. Yachad means that my Rebbe went with his wife and took the bed from a Yachad. And then we take from the secular world things that we see and we hear about Yachad. But when it comes to the Shul, when it comes to the Bim, we say, I'm sorry. The other side of the Mechitza.
I don't like it. I don't want to be in the sunrise in Hanami. But this is what it means to be a Yid. This is what it means to follow Shulchan Aruch. It means to follow Halacha. There's Yachad and there's Yichud. There's what belongs and there's what doesn't belong. And the Anshei HaGvul, the leaders of the Jewish people, are responsible to say that this is the place. That's why now let's come back to the beginning. That's why it says that one of the signs before Mashiach comes is Anshei Gvul Yisrael. The Anshei Gvul are going to be dragged into me all over the place. And they're not going to be beloved. They're not going to be liked. They're not going to be liked. Why is that? Because the emes is that even though when the Sanhedrin existed, you know that the members of the Sanhedrin all had to know 70 languages. The people, the great leaders of our people who were on the Sanhedrin, they knew the secular world. They understood the secular world. They knew every type of idolatry, the Gemara says they had to know. And they knew all the languages of the world. And I got news for you. My Rebbe Rav Darman Lipschitz was a bokhi, I found out later on, in French and German literature, even though you never heard a word in Shir about it. I don't know how or when, but that's what we heard. The Anshei HaGvul, the men of the Sanhedrin, they knew the 70 languages of the outside world. And they knew when and how to use it, just like Yosef HaTzadik, who never lost his sitkus in Egypt and knew all the languages. But he lived always, Yosef Hayyib in Mitzrayim, he lived in his world of Yosef, he was Yosef HaTzadik from beginning to end. Now these people, they're not so well liked before Mashiach comes into Simon, that the men of Sanhedrin are not so well liked. Why? See, here's an amazing thing. There are two types of people who do not like these Anshei HaGvul. Who are the two types? The ones who hold that everything is Yichud, or the one who holds that everything is Yachad. Let me explain. There are those, let's say, in America, they now call them pluralistic type of people. The pluralists. We hear and we read, and the whole world is being polluted by this new Avodah Zarah. And what does it mean? It means there are no borders at all. Everything is okay. Everybody's fine. Let's all be biyachad, one big happy family with drugs and alcohol and homicide, but one happy family aside from some problems. We're all big one big happy family. And we're all the same. And if you say that there's a difference between one person and another person, you're a racist, you're this, you're that, you're anti, you're dangerous, you're a menace to society, because you're saying that there's something special about some group of people, or this person, or he has a tafkid or a tachlis. So those who are the great pluralists say that everything has to be together. There's no gvul, there's no chilek, there's no difference. Everybody is the same, everything's the same. Let everything in. There's no difference between a Taisvis and between a Shakespeare. Everything is wisdom and intelligence, and everything is what? Everything is knowledge, and knowledge says the same holiness that what? It's in yeshiva, there's the same thing in public school. So therefore, that woman's proud that now my son can take chess, and he couldn't get it in his yeshiva. And I'm saving $12,000. Now Shakespeare and Tyson is all the same. There are no borders. Men and women, Jews and non-Jews. There's no mavdim and kodesh l'chol ben or l'chayshik. There's no havdalah. There's no gvul. The Anshei Gvul, these pluralistic people who despise the Anshei HaGvul, they hate those who come and say, this doesn't belong. You're very nice. We like you. Please stay where you belong. Please don't come to us. We'll call on you if we need you. But you don't belong in Klal Yisrael. This is not part of Kedushas Yisrael. So these are the people, the Yachad, where everything is biyachad, where there's no gvul. So they don't like the Anshei Gvul. Before Mashiach comes, Chazal said way thousands of years ago in the Mishnah that these people, the members of the Sanhedrin who have to make a distinction between Kodesh L'chol, who draw lines and borders and demarcation points, they add kind of not more, that these people are not going to be well liked. And then you have other types. You have the Yichud. But the Yichud hold only from Yichud. Now how could this be dangerous? So you know that Rav Kook himself suffered in Yerushalayim. We've spoken about this many times. So Rav Kook was an unbelievable tzaddik who was reaching out to other people. And Rav Kook, as you know, in most circles of the old community of Eretz Yisrael, was not well-liked. Right? That's putting it mildly. Was not well-liked. because there are certain other, on the other extreme, there are Jews who say that there's only a Gvul and there's no way ever, ever to cross the boundary. And there's no way to ever bring something from outside the boundary, even though you're clear and you're strong in your Malchus, you're not allowed to venture beyond your borders. And you're not allowed to use anything from the outside, have any shaykhis, no secular knowledge, nothing to do with people who are not religious or people who are not Jewish and so on and so forth. But the Gvul is a Gvul and there's only Yichud. And these people, therefore, these people despise any tzaddikim or anshei ha-Gvul who know how to lift up Kedusha with something from the outside, or who want to refine the outside world with things from the world of Kedusha. So Nimasu anshei Gvul. The anshei Gvul, these people, are yisayvum yilir v'lo yichaynenu. And instead, we see more and more that the Jewish people are divided into two shallow groups. One shallow group that says there are no borders, let's have a great time, everything together, it's all the same, Tosfos and Shakespeare, everything. Mixed swimming, mixed dancing, mixed thinking, mixed schools, mixed everything, mixed. No Gvul. In the house, you can bring anything you want, television, newspapers, everything from the outside. Welcome. We welcome everything for the sake and the great goal of what? Of a borderless society. And Lashon HaShabbos. Lashon HaShabbos, but in every other way, you wouldn't notice really so much about my being Shem HaShabbos. You wouldn't notice there's so much Lashon HaShabbos, I mean, except for Shabbos. And even on Shabbos, if it's a warm day, you can walk around with shorts and a little shirt. And you can go on Shabbos, sometimes you see fathers playing softball with their children in the park like it's a regular day of the week. There's no Shabbos Nechol anymore. Hashem Yirach. Those are the Yachad people, and they don't like the Anshei HaGvul who say, no. The Anshei HaGvul are trying to make borders. On the other hand, you have, on the other side, another shallow type, which is what? Which we understand that there's such a fear of the outside world. There's such a terror from the outside that there's this desire, this longing to be completely, totally removed from anything on the outside and to just crawl into the border and not have a shaychus to anything else. This too is not the tachlis of the Bria. Now we understand the comment of Tfresol on the Mishnah over there in Saita. Tfresol in his commentary in the Mishnah says, who are the Anshei Gvul? Talmidei HaChachamim Manhigei HaDor. These are the scholars, the leaders of the generation. HaShomim Gvul Pu'ulos B'nei Dorim Lebli Yavrum. They are guarding the actions of the Jews of the generation to see to it that they don't do anything they shouldn't do. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And this is the hardest thing in the world. Now we come back to what our subject is, and let's finish. The meaning of Bir HaMidas. What Mida to use at what time. That's what we've been talking about the last few Shiur. These are the words now of Rav Tzadik HaKain, another Kain. And this is found in Tzikis at Tzadik Mem Zayin. Rav Tzadik HaKain writes the following. Kol HaKaychis HaNetuois, the Kol Nefesh Mi'Yisrael, all of the Kaychis that are what? That Hashem is Baruch has infused, has planted in a Jew. Ein Lach Shev Shehu Ra Gomor. You should never think that any of your Kaychis are totally evil. God forbid they're not evil. V'shetzarech Liyais Hofcho. You shouldn't think that God forbid you have to get rid of one of your Kaychis and Nefesh to cut out a piece of your soul, of your nature. No. The Kohen says that every single midah that Hashem gave into a Jew, every single inclination, disposition that's inside each and every one of us, has a tzad toiv, it has a side that is holy. You have to use it according to the will of Hashem, you have to know how to use it in the borders of Kedusha. It might seem to you that midah is from the other side, it's disgusting, it doesn't belong in my life. Rav Tzadik says, nay. Rav Tzadik says that if you have your yid, that means that all of your midahs, all of your koiches, you just have to learn from the Anshei Gvul how to use and when to use and for what to use that koich. Like we learned last week. And if it's not, if you're using even a good midah, let's say kindness, but you're not using it according to Hashem's will, meaning you're kind to the wicked. You go marching with Palestinians because you feel bad for Palestinians. then you're using a midah of kindness, of chesed, which is a midah taiva, and you're using it what? You're using it for destructive purposes. It's a churban. Feel my person's marching with Palestinians. So even a good midah, if you don't use it the right way, is destructive. Because like Shaul HaMelech, who was punished because he had Rachmanis. And who did he have Rachmanis? And Amalek he had Rachmanis. And Hashem called out to him, Al tehi tzadik harbe. Don't be a bigger tzadik than I told you to be. There's a time to hate. Eis lehoiv veis lisnoi. And the time to hate is when you're dealing with Amalek. And when you're dealing with the Rishoyim of the Ishmaelim nowadays, there's a time to hate. And there's a time to fight against the Sinei Yisrael and to do whatever we can to uproot the tomb of Yishmael, to uproot the tomb of Amalek from our lives. And then he goes on, and also Rabbi Chaim, and of course we know from the Gemara that because of the humility of a certain great tzaddik, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The whole story in the Gemara. Therefore he ends, Amr Chazal, Imreisa Talmud Chacham, Noikim Venoite Kenochash, that sometimes there's a Talmud Chacham where it says in Shabbos and Daf Samach Gimel, that a Talmud Chacham, a true scholar, has to know sometimes to use what? Anger and vengeance. In the right way. But with a careful, if it's the wrong time, then it's crossing over the border. And then there's no border. It has to be used exactly in the right way. And that's the meaning of Yan Shei Gvul. The Yan Shei Gvul means that Hashem Yisbarach is telling us that we have to know the time and the place for Yichud. When does Hashem Yisbarach tell us, go away, there's not for you, just retreat into the Kedushas Yisrael, don't get involved in that. It doesn't belong to the Jewish people, that thing they're talking about. Stay away from that. And when is the time of Yachav when the Baruch Shalom is saying, this is something that can be brought in, it can be lifted up, it can be refined, and it can be included in the world of Kedusha if it's done properly. And what Chazal is saying is that if we mix this up, if we don't know the borders between Eis Lehav and Eis Lisnai, or as we learned last week, and I really wanted to explain more about it tonight, we just don't have time. Remember last week we spoke about Shnei Ksuvim Achishim Zezeh, that you have two psukim that are contradicting each other. Right, we spoke about Avmavinu. Avmavinu was pure chesed. Yitzhak is pure din. And that means there can be a blurring of the borders, because you could use chesed the wrong time and din the wrong time. After that could come a Yishmon, could come an Esed. Yaakov is Shleimus, so Yaakov is Emes. And Emes means what? Emes means the Gvul. It means using chesed and using din. When do you use chesed? How do you use chesed? When do you use din? When is it a time to use din? This is the meaning of Shnei Ksuvim Bar Gefen. This is what it means to know the gvul and to use the kos of Ashlishi. The kos of Ashlishi. When is it yachad? When is it yichud? So when you have different gemaras, the gemaras bring different psukim. In one pasuk it says about the Mokum HaMikdash that it has to be Mikol Shvatecha, all tribes have to be involved. And the other place it says Echum Shvatecha, one tribe has to be involved. And the gemara says Shnei Ksuvim Bar Gefen, Atzvi Yovah Kosov Ashir, Machish Menez Atzvi Yovah Kosov Ashir, which means what? Which means that even though it's true that on one level Yerushalayim is l'neschalki l'shvatim, that on one level Yerushalayim belongs to the whole Jewish people, also Yerushalayim has a separate sense of, there's a uniqueness, and who it belongs to, and Yehuda, and Binyamin, and so on. And this is a sugi in the Gemara, Atriyoba, Kosova, Shlishi, V'yachari, B'nai. The third pasuk, which is Machriya. That's Yaakov Avinu. This is the sign of being a Jew. And instead of us, God forbid, despising the Anshei Gvul, the Ratzon Hashem is Baruch, the greatest will of Hashem is that before Mashiach comes, that we should love the Anshei Gvul, that we should look for the Anshei Gvul, we should ourselves try to become Anshei Gvul, borderline people, but in a good way. That's what I meant, the borderline personality. In Kedusha, borderline personality, it means someone that knows what to let in and what to push out. And if you know that, then your children are not confused. Then your children are not afraid of the outside world, but they also are, they know what doesn't belong and where they shouldn't go. But for those who say everything is fine, the children, Hashem Yirachem, the children will go, they'll go, they'll go. God forbid, who knows where, what, and looking for what. I'm bringing what into the house, Chas v'Shalom. The Anshei Gvul are protecting our borders. And like I've been saying for the last few weeks, to the degree that we work hard to strengthen our borders, we should be zeichah that Hashem will strengthen the borders of Atzeinu HaKadosh, that Hashem will strengthen the borders of Eretz Yisrael, will strengthen the borders, that we should try hard to have clear borders and to respect the Anshei Gvul and to respect Halacha, and Hashem's Baruch should bless us, that none of our enemies should, God forbid, ever cross into our borders, not into the cities of Eretz Yisrael, not into our homes, not into our lives, that our children should be untouched by Tumah, that we should be untouched by Tumah, that our homes should be holy, that our borders shouldn't be crossed by the enemies, on all levels. I have people who have called me up telling me, what am I going to do? It turns out that my son has been on the internet for the last 6 months with some girl, and they met, and I have meisim, not once, not twice, many meisim like this. And I said, Rabbi Shalom, something came into this house, something from the outside, a gvul was crossed, and we had to take steps to defend our borders. And in that schus, the Rabbi Shalom should defend all of the borders of Klai Yisrael to the time that Hashem is Baruch will ke'osh and tichla, that all that's evil and all that's destructive will be completely uprooted from the land and uprooted from our homes, and we should be zeichen Hashem to come back to that place and to meet all the Anshei Gvul by Gula HaShleima v'amitis by Tchias HaMeisim. We should be zeichen b'sech HaZenei, in any b'shuv HaShem, it's in Rachamim, by Gula HaShleima v'amitis, from Hebi HaMeinu, Amen.